Nanas are a protest group. We peacefully and productively protest against unsustainable ways of mining coal seam gas and shale gas and the sands gas. We were tired of people doing nothing and saying someone should do something. So two of us got together and we went and had a look at the ponds at Pollux Road, and that was our first knit-in. And since then, the movement's grown internationally. We've got knitting nanas in Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania, Fukushima, County Mayo in Ireland. There's a lot in London and Birmingham, and it's gone viral.
You referred to a knit-in just then. What is a knit-in?
This is a knit-in here. It's where a bunch of protesters bring their chairs and their knitting and cups of tea, and we sit outside somewhere and knit with our propaganda, our bits of paper here. This is our third time at Don Page's office. We've been to Thomas George's office five times. We've had two knit-ins out the front of Gasco's offices in Casino. We were part of the blockade at Pollux Road. Before the blockade, we'd done about six knit-ins at Pollux Road, Metgasco Depot in Backmead, other wells. We went for a trip up to Tara, Ackland and Miles in Queensland, and we met the people who were living in the gaslands. We saw their children with the bloody noses.
Why knitting?
Why knitting? Knitting is a really good thing to do at a protest because people often get bored waiting for a long time and they get aggressive, whereas when you knit, it's a group of women mainly sitting together and it really helps the thought process. We plot and plan while we're knitting. Then there's the, you know, the thing with the French Revolution, the women knitting under the guillotine, there's that as well. And the thing is, it really scares people to have a bunch of old ladies sitting out the front knitting and they're waiting for something to happen, and it doesn't necessarily happen. When we were at Metgasco on Tuesday last week, somebody called cops on us and he drove up in a yellow police car. It was really cool. He got out of the car and said, okay, I'm warning you, I'm filming and recording this. And then he had a look at us and there were eight women sitting down having a cup of tea with their knitting in their laps. And he looked at us and he looked across at the office, looked at us again, then he ended up staying with us for 20 minutes and chatting.
It's quite a contrast to some of the protests we've seen of late, particularly the one in Sydney that turned into quite a violent protest. So do you think that's part of the reason it works?
I think it works because the protesters are often portrayed as extremists and radicals and hippies, ferals, whatever it is, whereas women from the country, women from the city are very worried about what this is doing, and we want to show the world that we're not extremists, that we are concerned citizens. It's about the nurturers too. It's about mothers, well, parents, grandparents, and the farmers, the people who nurture us by providing the food for us as well.
And why are you here today in particular?
We're here because we really need to tell the state government to listen to us. The other thing we're doing with our state MPs too is every time we go past their office, we're giving them a yellow flower.
What does the yellow flower signify?
It's a non-aggressive way of making a point. And the thing is, you can have 50 people out here for an hour and it doesn't disturb them very much. But if you have maybe 20 people a day bringing in yellow flowers every day, it makes more of a point in the long run. And I think that's what we're about.
You've been around since June.
Yep.
How did you feel with the latest announcements about the renewal of the coal seam gas exploration licences and the approval of coal seam gas production in the Richmond Valley? Did you feel like your efforts had been a waste of time?
It's tempting to think that, and a lot of people do ask us about that. No, it just made us more determined. You know, this is the beginning of a long, long war, and we're just going to get bigger and more extreme. There's no prosperity on
the dead earth. My name's Amelia Hicks and I'm a Girl Against Gas. We're youth, young women of the area who are against coal seam gas and believe in a clean, renewable energy future.
tell us what you're wearing, because people might recognise you from the coal seam gas protests that have taken place throughout our region over the past year.
We've got black tights and black singlet and a bright yellow cape and mask. There's some yellow knickers over the top as well.
So what's the idea behind Girls Against Gas, and how many of you are there?
Well, we've got a pretty large base of girls, but obviously we're all busy, so we come out as best we can. But basically the idea behind it is this is a really serious issue, and being young people, it's pretty overwhelming. So we wanted to do something that allowed us to have a bit of fun and, you know, entertain the kids and keep it light, because there's times when this feels really dire.
As I said, we've seen you out and about at the different protests across our region, and they've been going on for many months now. How did you feel when you heard the most recent announcements from the state government about coal seam gas? Did you feel like you'd failed in all of these efforts you've put in over the last few months?
No, I didn't feel like we failed. I felt like they failed. I felt like they're not listening, and they've come out again and shown us that they're not listening, that they're not representing us, and that's what they're supposed to do. So, I mean, it was a big blow, and I think that a lot of people are pretty angry, a lot of people are really upset, but the bottom line is it's motivating, because we know we can't stop, because that's what they want, and we're going to make them hear.
Ding dong, the useless gnats are dead, the useless gnats are dead.